another great song. And it was perfectly planned. It's all on purpose, everything we do here at Village Heights. Y'all knew that. So, like he said, it's about you are here today. So if I was to ask you, everybody close your eyes. I'm going to do something, get a little creative. Everybody close your eyes. And if I was to look at you in your mind space and I said, you are here, where would that be? Now, I know that some of you are like, I'm in the Hits Theater, duh, I'm at Village Heights. No. I meant like as in life. Where are you? Where do you see yourself? Is it like on a beach somewhere? That's kind of where I would go. You know, are you at home? Are you at the office? Where are you? All right, you can open your eyes now. See, when you're asked to define that as in a simple term, just physical space, that's easy to do. But when you look at your life as a whole, and you go, where am I? You know, you begin to question, you know, things. You begin to think about, you know, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I in the spot that I'm supposed to be on? When people look at me and they go, oh, you're here, is here what I'm supposed to be doing or where I'm supposed to be? Is this the job that I'm supposed to have? Is the place, is this the relationship that I'm supposed to be in? You see, when you start to unpack purpose with location and space and time and your cosmic location with God, you begin to have uncertainty, like anxiety starts to come in. You begin to wonder, am I supposed to do this? Now, this is something that everybody struggles with, every human, beginning to define where you are. Now, this is the struggle that just humanity goes through in general, but Christians go through this a lot too. And it's kind of ironic because you would think, well, I'm a Christ follower. I should know where I am. But if I went to just random group of Christians, had a polling in the room, and I said, where are you? Are you here? Are you here? They would struggle in defining, where am I? So when it comes to church, everybody has uncertainty about it, whether you're a believer or not, and the conversations always kind of go in the same direction. If you don't know this, I Uber on the side for a little side hustle, I guess. It's fun. I get out there, and the most fun, see, the more I do the mornings, but then at Friday nights, that's the most fun, okay? that's when the really interesting conversations come out, because, you know, alcohol is more like truth serum. You know, everybody just starts blabbling everything. Yeah, that's what liquid courage is what they call it. And so when we get in the car with a couple of them, you know, and they're having a good time, I'm a friendly person. You know, I enjoy having, you know, people in my car, learning the story. Sometimes they'll talk to me. Usually if they're in the group, they don't talk to me. And then I look for opportunities to jump in, you know, try to get them to love me by the end of that ride. And, you know, I tell them I'm an astronaut or something like that. And I just do this on the side. No. So this last Friday night, and this always happens. So they get in the car, and they start, these girls, and they start talking about a friend of theirs that is a Christian, but they went over to overseas, and they got baptized in the Jordan. And they're like, wait a minute, you can't just do that. You can't just switch religions. And then another one's like, no, she didn't change religions, you know, just because she went over there and got baptized, you know. And this whole discussion started to unravel about like technicalities of church and this religion, who they belong to, what are they a part of. And it's all about them, like, is it lining up with their life and how, you know, what are they a part of? What do they identify with? I don't know if I can identify with that because I don't really know much about it. That's usually where this goes, just uncertainty about church, religion, God, you know, and I get to jump in every once in a while. How did that go? The girl ended up talking to me, and she said, oh, you're a lot like this, look like this guy's husband. I'm like, he must be really handsome, you know. That's my best line. I like that one. Because I always get a good laugh, because, ah, no, he's ugly. Ah. And so, like, oh, what do you do? And he's like, you're really nice. And I'm like, are you married? And I'm like, yeah, I'm married. Thank you. I'm flattered. Happily married with kids. And they're like, oh, man, that's really cool. What do you do? Do you do this full time? I'm like, no, I'm actually a pastor. And you're like, oh, no, wait. And they immediately start apologizing for every cuss word that they said, you know, even when they were not in the car, what they did before they got in the car, they start apologizing for that. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, I'm not here to judge you. And so they start making jokes about it, and they like, what is this gonna be like, Cash Cab? And I'm like, yeah, I haven't asked a question yet, sure. And so I asked, like who? Because you're talking about baptism. I'm like, who coined baptism? They're like, oh, I don't know, Jesus. And I'm like, no. And then one of them goes, John the Baptist. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, that's why it's his name. So it was a lot of fun. But it's interesting. There's these key things that I look for in those conversations that I can tell that there's somebody is struggling with where their placement is with God. Because usually they're like, there is no God. They don't even want a placement. Or they know exactly where they are with God. Or they're in that middle. There's a lot more in the middle than you think. That they're wondering, is there a God? Am I doing the right things? And the conversation evolves into not what am I a part of, but what am I becoming? What am I not attaching myself to, but what am I physically becoming in where I am when I am here? And when you talk about becoming, it's not just this external connection. Becoming something means that inside and out, you are changing. That there is something happening inside of you. God wants you to know where you are. He does. He wants you to know. He wants to answer that question for you. And he helps you do that in unique ways. He doesn't want you just wandering. I know that there's been some that have wandered in the desert in Scripture. Luckily, we're past that time, and you haven't made God that angry that you would have to wander in the desert, you know, for a long time. But he wants you to know, and he uses a unique way in how he does it, because you would think, you know, I can find out my place if I find out what I'm good at. You know, if I can define what I'm good at, what my talents and skills are in life, then I can find out where my place is. Where is my here? But God actually does the opposite. When he wants you to find where your here is, he wants you to do something that's out of your skill set. He challenges you to do something out of your comfort zone, and puts you in an uncertain place. He wants you to get out of whatever is normal and experience something, and usually in serving others. Yeah. It's so outward. It's so opposite of what you think, what logic would make you think, how I find out where my place is. He's like, no, I want you to do something that's foreign to you, that's a skill that you don't have, and I don't even want you to do it for yourself. I want you to do it for somebody else. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to jump into Scripture here. There's a really cool moment in Scripture we're going to be looking at in just a moment. And if you are a believer and you're like, I haven't gone through this before. I don't know if I'm going through this now. You will. You will. Every believer goes through this. This is a part of the process. This is a method that God uses over and over and over again. You can see it all throughout the Old Testament. You see it in the New Testament, and you see it today. God likes to exhaust this because he wants to strengthen your faith. See, your faith in the substance of God is like your latitude and longitude about where your here is. Because if you know, if your faith is strong and you know where you are with God, if he's active in your life, it's really easy to find your here. If you're in the right place, not just physically, but internally in every aspect of your life. So your location is the stability, as a stable place, has a lot to do with your faith and the purpose of God's surroundings for you. Your surroundings, it's those purposes. So Matthew 14, 13 through 21, there's this really cool thing that happens right here. Now, this is a common story. You've probably heard it like, oh, yeah, I know this. I get this. Yeah, but we haven't seen it. This part. I'm going to draw out this one part, and it's going to kind of open your eyes to the situation. So Jesus is describing something that we all wrestle with on our faith journey of finding where our here is. Is my here, where am I supposed to be? Am I exactly where God wants me to be? Am I in the right job? That's going to be defined in this here, okay? Matthew, and we'll pick up right there. Matthew 14, 13. So John the Baptist, even though we just talked about John the Baptist, he has died. Herod got him, okay? Herod was after him, and he got him, all right? And he's gone now, all right? And so this is where we're at. Jesus has received the news. Matthew 14, 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed on foot from the towns. They're like, yeah, we know you're mourning, Jesus, but that's your problem. You know, we got needs, okay? And so he actually went to the other side of the lake. Like, he got in a boat, got over there, and they're like circling the lake, coming around. You know, like, we'll get him on this side. You get him on that. Yeah, we'll come around because we got things we need, right? And so he's coming around. He didn't get time to even mourn the death of one of his beloved people, one of his beloved followers. So they followed him anyways, and they circled him. And then Matthew 14 through 15, continue on, says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. Like, so he got in the boat. He's like, I'm going to get away. They're back. Great. Okay, they're like ants. They just never go away. When he went to the shore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Even though he was in mourning, even though his life wasn't perfect at that moment, he wasn't feeling it, he still had compassion and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." The disciples are seeing the writing on the wall. It's like, all right, Jesus, it's getting late. You know, we're tired. We've been walking around. You know, these people, they're just here for stuff. Send them away. They don't even have any food with them. You know, just send them away. You know, we can take a break. You know, we're outside of our comfort zone now, right? When I got up this morning, I was like, I'm clocking out, you know, at evening and doing the ministry, the footwork of Jesus. You know, I'm clocking out. They're in the middle of nowhere. These people need to go. They need to go take care of themselves. That's normal people thinking. I mean, that's where my mind would immediately go to when I'm in a desolate place, you know, with a lot of people. I'm like, these people need to go. I don't know. Sometimes my house can get that way, and I'm like, you people need to go. Okay, all right, this is becoming a desolate place. We're out of food now. Get out, you know, get out of here. All right, this is where the story gets interesting, okay? This is where the story gets interesting. Matthew 14:16. But Jesus said, right, there's like, they had the logic. They're like, all the right reasons. Send them away, Jesus. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. The disciples were tired. They were out of their comfort zone. They're wore out. They don't need to leave, he says. I want you to do something. They don't need to go anywhere. I want you to feed them. This is a very powerful moment here in Scripture, because he's like, everything adds up. Human logic, nature is like, all right, now we know what these people need to do. They need to go get their own food and go to whatever they got to do. But he says, no, we're going to change the Scripture, but I want you to do something about it. Because everybody was leaning on Jesus. There's always those people in your life that are the more spiritual ones that we kind of lean on to, like, hey, they're going to take care of that. They'll do the witnessing. You know, they'll feel those awkward moments, you know, talk about God to the coworkers and your friends. They'll do it. They're kind of leaning on Jesus, and Jesus is like, no, you do something about it. You feed them. So you can imagine where they're at. You know, this is the same thing that happens to some of you and to me. And if not, you will be in this place, but you feel a tug. You feel a tug, and you're like, man, there's a situation. There's something happening where need is present. Like there's somebody need something. They can't provide it for themselves, and it's in such a way that's kind of overwhelming, but I've identified what this is, and this might be an organization that you've seen. This might be just a family member, or you know, you just walked up on them, but you're like, or maybe even at church, you walk into church, like, there's a need here. You feel this weird tug that you haven't felt before, and you're like, why am I feeling this? Is it in my genes? Was I born with caring all of a sudden? You know, what has happened to me? I'm feeling this. I'm feeling it. That's kind of what the disciples, they identified, and they felt this tug of like, there's a situation here. Something needs to be addressed. Something needs to happen. You're sensing this, a need, and you're feeling it because you need to go meet it. There is a sense to go meet a need. I know that some of us, and I am this way, I can be almost a little too separated from my emotions at times. I've been called a robot, but there's even times when I run up on that I'm like, man, I can disconnect really easy, but man, it's just tugging at me hard. I feel it, and that's kind of God's way of saying, I want you to do something here. You're like, God, these people need to disperse. Who is under that bridge, they need to go find somewhere else, go find some food. And God's like, no, I need you to do something about it. I need you to get involved. And your reaction might be like mine, and I'll usually go, God, I do the praying. You know, I'm usually the one that prays. Lord, send somebody after them. I do the praying over the problems, God. I pray for the people that go handle those things, and I pray for the people that, you know, that they'll send people, that you'll resource them. I'm the prayer. I'm the prayer. I'm the one that is encouraging it. I'm an encourager of it, But I just pray about it. I'm not the one that carries it out. There's more people that are qualified for that. And even in those times, God is saying, I want you to do it. Yeah. You feel this tugging. We do this, we dismiss ourselves from these situations because we immediately put our minds there. We're like, what if I did this? What if I stepped into this situation? What if I presented this problem to be the solution? And then you immediately start to identify, I'm not qualified. There's someone better at this. I don't have the resources. I don't have the funds. I don't have the money to make this happen. I'm not trained. It's going to be uncomfortable. And I don't like being uncomfortable. I don't like doing that. And God forbid, it might be awkward. I might say something and they'll just stare at me. Make me feel stupid, you know? It might be awkward. I might not have the right answers they're looking for. They might ask me about a scripture that I've never heard of. I'm not even going to admit that I haven't even read the first half of the Bible, you know? What do I do? We run into those situations. We put our minds there, and we immediately begin to disqualify us. But there's going to be a time in your journey that God is going to, even though those things happen, our minds go there, He's going to say, I want you involved. And it won't be because of guilt or shame. You won't feel like, man, I feel guilty because I'm in a better situation or, you know, anything like that. It's going to be, I just have a tug that I want to help. You feel it. It'll happen. Moving on, the disciples do exactly what we do. They made excuses. Matthew 14:17, it says, they said to him, like they're like, hold on, Jesus. And they had a huddle and they came back. We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. Only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. They're like, Jesus, we talked it over and we know this is a bad idea. We know this is not going to work, God. Jesus, come on. I mean, we know you're God and everything, but come on. We're not prepared. We're not qualified. We're not equipped. We don't have a taco truck here. I mean, what do you think that we're going to do to help them? What do you think we're going to do? We're the wrong people for this. How often do we say that to ourselves? When the opportunity arises for us to help somebody, to be a part of something, that we say, God, I'm the wrong person. Yeah. Surely there's somebody better for this. Surely. And I'll pray that you send them, God. Okay, I'll pray that they manifest. They come from somewhere. Even though they seemed to be in the right place with Jesus, they weren't where they're supposed to be mentally. What were they becoming on the inside? If their surroundings still, even though they've seen Jesus just do healings, they just witnessed Jesus have compassion over them, even though he's mourning the death of one of his loved ones, even though that's happening, he still healed them. And they just saw this. And he's like, okay, you know, I'll go feed them. And they're like, it's impossible. We can't do it. I know what you just did, but this is far greater. Only physically were they there. But were they becoming something? Were they really there? Where would their here be? This is really cool. This is what happens next. They disqualify themselves. They make excuses. They say, we only have this much. We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, bring them here to me. Bring them here to me. The disciples were like, I knew he was going to say that. I knew that he couldn't leave this alone. I knew he was going to say that. But this is all we have, God. This is all we have. And you want us to feed this multitude of people that are behind us? This is the same convo that God has with us on a regular basis. When a need is present, we come up and we say, God, I don't have much. And Jesus is like, bring what you have. Bring what you have. It's just a little bit of money I have to offer. I don't make very much. I only have this little. She's like, okay, bring what you have. Bring it. Bring what you have, no matter how small it is. I just have this little bit of time to offer, God. I'm so busy with all this stuff, and I don't get that much time to relax. You know, I just have this little bit of time. She's like, okay, bring what you have. Bring it to me. But God, I only have a small amount of relationships and connections and resources. I just know a few people in this city. I'm new to the city. I only know a few people. Okay. Jesus says, bring what you have. Bring them. Bring them. Yeah. Bring whatever it is that you have. I don't have a lot of talents or skills. Bring the what little you have. Lord, I'm just scared. I'm afraid. I am fearful of what that is. Jesus is like, okay, bring your fears. Bring your insecurities. Bring it all. Bring all of you and what you are becoming over here. And watch what happens. Matthew 14 through 19, it says, then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. So you can imagine a big group of people. In taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. I'm going to stop right there. All right, so imagine Jesus is standing here. The disciples are like lined up, kind of like right in front of him. And then there's, boom, crowds, right? You know, and so put myself and yourself in the disciples' shoes. Like, you're like, okay, here you go, Jesus. And he has the little baskets, and he's like, all right, bless it, Lord. You know, and the guys are kind of like, okay, what's going to happen next? You know, we're in a desolate place. I don't see any food trucks coming. And then Jesus breaks it and then begins to hand it to the disciples. The disciples are like, all right, okay, Jesus. Now, this is enough for me. Are the people behind me gone? Or I mean, are they still there? Are the crowds left? Because I don't know what you want me to do with this. God will take the things that you bring to offer, and sometimes he'll split it up and hand you back even a little bit and say, okay, I want you to do something, right? What an insecure place to be. There is 5,000. Now, it says 5,000. It really means probably about 20,000 because they counted the men in that time. And the men meant family, right? And so what they would, I dropped my bread. What that meant is that behind them, there's like 20,000 people waiting. And Jesus says, here, you gave me what you have. Now here, take this back. And I want you to do something with it. What an insecure moment. You can just imagine yourself in their shoes and what they're feeling. What did the disciples do next? Exactly what they knew to do. They knew they did exactly what they had. They did exactly what Jesus just did to them. He gave it to Jesus, and Jesus just gave it back. And so all they could do was just turn around and start giving. Whatever little that they had in their hand, they felt they had, what they saw they had, they just started handing it out. They just started doing. They did what only they could do, knowing that Jesus was going to do what only Jesus could do. Their faith, this was a moment. This was a tug. This was an opportunity for God to say, I'm about to give you your whole location, your GPS point. I'm going to show you where you're at, where you can be with an amount of faith that you would need for this to happen. I'm going to strengthen that muscle, that faith muscle, and it's going to give you the latitude and longitude of where you belong, where you're at, where your purpose is. When you begin to feel that urge and you answer it, sign up. Answer that urge. When Jesus hands that back to you and says, now go give it to them, answer it. Sign up. Go online, whatever it may be. That thing that you've been feeling, that tug to help that group of people, go do it. But I only have this little bit. Yeah, bring it. Take it with you. Go to them. Make it happen. Go talk to that person that you're afraid to talk to. Be generous with the wealth that you have, or just the little bit of wealth that you have. Be kind to the unkind. Just do it. The inner battle, butterflies, the tension in your stomach, you are feeling that the disciples were feeling in that moment, and you feel when you have that little bit in your hand, God is trying to take you to another level, trying to take you up a notch, trying to give you a better location of where you are at in your life, in your eternity, where you are. Opportunities come and go, so don't wait. If they would have turned around and not done it, you think they would have ended up with another opportunity to feed 20,000 people, to see a miracle happen? So what Christ is saying to you, you are here. Now I'm telling you guys in this moment, you are here physically, spiritually, in every way. You are here, and you are here for a reason. You are not here by accident. You are here for a purpose. You are here because God is taking you to another level. Something is happening because you are here. You are here. Jesus told the disciples, guys, you are here. Be in this moment with me. Be a part of it and serve others. The disciples did it. They did exactly that. And this is what happened. Matthew 14, 20 through 21, it said, and they all ate and were satisfied. And when they say all, they mean everybody, the whole crowd, the little piles that they had in their hand, they turned around and started feeding. They all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full afterwards, and they broke the pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000, because besides women and children, so about like 20,000 people. Because they knew where they were, they said, I'm not leaving whatever logic I have to say that I shouldn't do this. I am here. When Jesus said, where are you? Where are you here? They said, yes. Show me what to do. Take what little I have. And so because of that, they had the opportunity to be a part of a miracle, an absolute God-astounding miracle. And some of you might say, I can't compete with that. How do I even know if I'm presented with that opportunity? You think the disciples knew that they were about to be presented with that opportunity? They didn't wake up that day and Jesus said, all right, guys, you're going to get to feed 20,000 people. Just follow my lead. No, he didn't say that. He's like, okay, you're in this moment. Are you here? Are you with me? Now watch this. You never know. You never know when you're about to walk into a feeding the 20,000 opportunity. The hinging point is your faith. Will you dismiss it? Will you see it and go, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. There's somebody that can do this better than me. You know what? I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my thing and pray that God sends somebody, or pray that whoever does have the influence, that person, they're going to do it. Are you here? Jesus is telling you the same thing. You are here. So be in the moment. Be a part of it. Serve others. Bring what you have. And God will do something that you can't even take credit for. Yep. That he'll do something with your faith, whatever little that you have, he will make it do something so awesome that afterwards, when you tell people about it, you're like, I don't know how it happened, but God did it. I don't know where this came from, but I just took what little I had and God took it and transformed it into something bigger. That's the kind of miracles. That's the kind of life stories that I want you to be a part of. It's those things when you go back and tell people, say, I know you're struggling with your uncertainty of where you are in the galaxy, in the universe, and where God feeling you. Is he feeling you? Is he not? Are you part of the right religion? No. Let me tell you about something awesome that really happened that you're not just wondering about. And in your location, your GPS, where you're here is, begins to let them know where they are. They feed off of your location. They ping off of you and they go, I need to be right there. I need to be a part of something like that. So your here becomes their here. And you're like, okay, I don't know if I'm presented with an opportunity like that. Great news, guys. Great news. I got one for you, okay? This Saturday, July 28th, we are doing something called Action Groups. And if this is your first time, you don't know what Action Groups is. Action Groups is like our opposite of Bible study. Not to say that it's like we do evil or anything like that. No. What we do is what we talk about, we actually put into action. We spend too much time as Christians talking about it, having theological discussions. That's all great and wonderful, and I love it. Reading commentaries, all do that stuff. We got to understand what we're reading, but then that's where we stop, and we don't do anything with it. That's why we created action groups. And this is our third action group, and this is the third time that we accepted the challenge, took the responsibility to do something that we had just a little bit. And when we took on the challenge to help the Sunrise Shelter, I told them, it's a really cool place. It's a church and a shelter. They can house 150 people. Got hit by Hurricane Harvey. I just happened upon them by accident from helping someone else end up at the shelter at 10:30 at night. The pastor just happened to be there because he also has another job that he works at night. He feels me, the Ubering. He doesn't Uber, but he does something else a lot more dangerous. But you know, I'm there, and he's like, man, what's your situation? What's going on here? I'm very interested. Or I'm a pastor too. And he's like, oh, cool. Let me give you a tour. Great. He walks me through. It's hard to see. Hard to see, knowing that just like 10 miles away, people have to live in these conditions. The homeless, you know, they're struggling. They need help. And I felt the tug. I felt the tug, and I tried to justify it. I said, God, I'm not a contractor. I don't have the means. I don't have this bank of money. I don't have it. How can I help them?
That's it. I just bring what you have. And so I told that guy that night, I said, hey, Pastor, I don't know what I can do for you, but I'm in. I'm going to do whatever I can. And then I left. Hugged him, you know, and then I left. A couple weeks later, I show back up with our team, and I kind of told them, I don't know what we're going to do, guys, but we're going to talk to them. And we show up, and the pastor, he says, I got to say, I'm surprised. And I said, about what? He said, that you came back. And I was like, what do you mean? I told you I'm going to come back. And he said, man, you wouldn't know how many people come and see this, the grandeur of it and the size of it, and they disappear. Like, it's like they vanish, like Thanos got them or something like that. There you go. It's my Marvel fans in the room. And so it's like they just disappear. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry that happens, but we're not going anywhere. I don't have the means. I didn't just hit a trust fund or something like that, but I'm here. And through the past couple of months, because we were willing to say, okay, Jesus, we'll take this little bit and we'll turn and we'll begin to use it, God has done some amazing things. Literally that next week, and I've told you guys about this, I'm like, God, where's the money? Because this is going to cost some money. Where's it going to come from? Literally that next week, they get a grant from Samaritan's Purse that is huge, that I get to call the pastor and say, man, I just want to celebrate. He had no idea that it even happened yet. I got the article before he did. He's not the most technically savvy, I guess. I don't know. But I tell him about it, and I'm like, am I breaking this news to you? And he goes, yes. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And he's like, can you send me the article? And I was like, you got it, man. I'll send it over to you. God, immediately, we committed to it, and a week later, he was making the impossible happen. Yep. And he's been doing it for the past couple of months, and we're about to finish up and do something amazing this Saturday. We're not only going in to clean and wipe up, we're installing stuff that there was no hope of them even having a few months ago. And every time we show up, the pastor's like, man, you guys, just the fact that you're here. Did you catch that? Just the fact that you are here is amazing. Just because you show up, just because you are willing to let Jesus use you, people will thank God. You get to be a part of that. That is the greatest feeling, knowing that just your presence, just you walking in the place and being willing to take what little you have, you get to be a part of God's miracle. The same feeling those disciples felt when they fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I want you guys to be a part of that. I want you to experience that. Jesus said, I want you guys to help them. Jesus tugged them. He says, I want Village Heights to help them. I said, okay, let's do this. We didn't have what was necessary, but we did what only we could do, so that Jesus could do what only Jesus could do. Yep. It makes some miracles happen. So you are here at Village Heights, hearing this message, hearing these words. It's not by accident. You are here for a purpose. You are here for a calling. You are here for a tug. It's going to happen. Embrace it. Bring what you have and watch what God does with what little you have. So join us this Saturday, and after this, I'm going to have my iPhone out, I'm going to have my iPad. I want you guys to sign up. We need to know if you're going to be there. So if you are feeling that tug right now, act on it. Come to us. We'll put your name down so that we're prepared for you, because we're going to have food and all that. We're doing something for the kids. We're having a big day. Like, they bring all the neighborhood kids in. Joe just happened to be at the place when they had one recently, and he said it was big, a lot of kids there. So I'm super excited to love on this group of people. And then if you love to clean, this is like your dream come true. All right, this place is dirty, okay? The Hurricane Harvey came through and just stomped all over it, all right? There's a lot to clean. There's a lot to throw away. We want you to be a part of that. Some of you OCD people, it might kill you. I don't know. It might drive you crazy. But come out, hang out with us. And if you have technical skills, we got things that we're installing, we're putting in. We need you. God needs you to be here in the moment. So be there with us. And realize, yes. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to be a part of such great things. Jesus, you don't have to do that. You could just come in and slap some hands on heads, do some healings, and feed everybody, and it's all. But, Lord, you let us. you give us the chance to join in the miracles. Thank you for that blessing. Jesus, I pray that we do not miss this opportunity, or that we don't see it and say, I can dismiss myself. No, that we will stand up, take what little we have, and say, now, Jesus, do only what you can do. So, Jesus, I'm asking you right now, do only what you can do. Lord, we've already done so much for this Sunrise Shelter, Lord, but I pray that you do more. Even after this work day, I pray that you continue to use us to filter out the blessings, to bless others, Jesus, because, man, that's an amazing, amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. Jesus, right now, I pray for the people that are feeling that tug in this moment, that are feeling the tug of you saying, I need you to do this. I want you to feed them. I want you to be a part of this. Jesus, I pray that they have courage, that they have strength, that they have patience to wait it out and to see what comes, what unveils. But Lord, ultimately, they get to have stories of the miracles that you do in their lives for others. Jesus, thank you so much. Bless Village Heights and bless this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.